Our Civil Liberties in the Presidency series has covered many civil rights policy subjects. To discuss how these are being approached on the campaign trail, I'm joined by ACLU of New Hampshire Political Director Jeannie Ruska. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the guest or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. The Warren B. Rudman Center for Justice Leadership and Public Service and the American Civil Liberties Union of New Hampshire have been organizing this ongoing series. We have five political candidates, so excited to have you join me today, Jeannie. And what are some of the main things that have stood out to you over this?
Well, thank you so much for having us, AJ. I think some of the main topics that have come up so far have been LGBTQ rights, immigration, voting rights have been a big one, criminal justice reform, reproductive rights, and privacy and tech has also come up.
Let's start with the last one, digital privacy. It's obviously a big topic of late. We've been covering facial recognition on the podcast, and the data leaks that have occurred over the last couple of years have been substantial. What sort of take are the candidates taking on this?
So we've heard broad positions, which is that candidates agree that big tech is a threat to personal privacy, and they acknowledge that. What we ask in the forum is to go beyond the big position, yeah. And we really want specifics of, we all agree that Facebook, Amazon, Google are a threat to personal privacy, so what are they going to do about it? And one of the issues that's come up, actually, is the idea that people should have a property interest in their personal data. So if a company wants to come along and sell your data, okay, that's fine, but they have to give you money for that because they are profiting off of your data, in which case you should get a cut of that profit, right? Your information has value. So that's one of the ideas that's being discussed within privacy realms and has come up at the candidate forums.
Yeah, and this is kind of opposite of how the social media companies have been taking us, and you're getting our product for quote free and you're paying for it with that data. So it's kind of strike a balance there between the two is important.
Yeah, I think that's how they interpret
right.
it, but that is not on the front page, shall we say. When you sign up for Facebook, it doesn't say, and oh, by the way,
yeah.
the agreement that we're striking is that we give you access to our form and we get to sell your data in exchange. That may be in the fine print, as they say, but I don't think the average person who signs up for Facebook thinks of it as them signing up to exchange their personal data for access.
A bunch of the candidates have brought up the fact the terms of service are a
Absolutely.
Point of contention. Really getting into what is more of a dividing topic. Now, what's kind of unique about the series so far is because of the nature of this election is it's primarily Democratic candidates that are kind of filling the field. There's more than 20 at this point that have declared, and then there's only two Republicans on that side and a couple independents, but they haven't really gotten as much traction. So it's kind of been a breath of the left side of the aisle. But to start off with, LGBTQ rights. I mean, what are some of the things that have been brought up?
So what's great about the LGBTQ issue is how much New Hampshire is actually leading in this field. If you're from New Hampshire, you know that last year we passed transgender non-discrimination protections. And this year there's been four bills in the legislature related to gender identity and trans rights. Two of those would add third gender markers, meaning an X rather than an M for male, F for female, or X for non-binary, would add that X option to driver's licenses and birth records. And so we've been asking a number of the candidates whether they would support a third gender marker on federally issued IDs, namely passports. And this issue has actually gained a lot of traction in the Democratic primary. When we've been asking it both at the candidate forums, and we've also been asking it at candidate events elsewhere when our ACLU voters show up. And a number of candidates have really endorsed this notion that there should be a third gender marker. And so we've been really happy with how much candidates have been willing to step up to the plate on that issue. I think the other area that you're seeing with LGBTQ rights is the issue of insurance coverage and making sure that insurance policies adequately cover what is called gender affirmation care. And that's come up in a couple candidate forums. But I think overall, it's been really exciting to see trans issues in particular gain so much attention during this primary.
Yeah, and even William Weld, former governor of Massachusetts, who's on the Libertarian ticket in the previous election as the vice presidential candidate, was even supportive of all these changes.
Yeah, and with the third gender marker, I think one of the things we always often talk about is it doesn't impact people, right? It impacts the person who wants that third marker on their license. But if you have an M or an F on your license, this really doesn't impact you. Right. This is not something that should be controversial. And so I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing it gain traction, and including in the New Hampshire State House. The two bills regarding third gender markers have actually been pretty bipartisan this session. And I hope, we're hopeful that the governor will sign them. And so I think, again, New Hampshire's been leading on this issue in the last couple years. And I think candidates, when they come to New Hampshire, are acknowledging that.
Now, with regards to reproductive rights, this has been very heavily in the news. We talked about digital privacy being in the news.
Yes.
Reproductive rights have completely stolen the news cycle over anything on that end of things, for better or worse. The this is even kind of divvied up among the left with how exactly it should be done. I mean, what's your take on the candidates thus far with how it should be handled?
Yeah, so obviously in the last week, the big issue has been the Hyde Amendment that's come up. And it's come up at the candidate forums as well, of whether candidates...
If you could just summarize what the Hyde
Amendment is. Yeah, so the Hyde Amendment is a federal law that prevents federal money from being spent on abortion services. And so the main line, I think, of the Democratic primary has been that the Hyde Amendment needs to end, that it needs to be done away with. That's obviously not a uniform position, given what we've seen in the last week. There's been some back and forth by at least one candidate on that issue. But I think what you're really seeing in the primary is a reaction to some of the state measures happening elsewhere in the country. Right. We're seeing it in Alabama, for instance, the notion of whether providing an abortion should be criminalized. So if you're a doctor and you perform an abortion, if you should face criminal penalties for that. That's a really extreme position. And the ACLU is vehemently opposed to restrictions on abortion, especially that kind of criminal penalty. And so I think what you're really seeing is candidates feeling the need to federally take a very strong stance in reaction to what's happening at the local level. And it's obviously also a reaction to the anticipation that the Supreme Court may be taking up Roe v. Wade again in the next couple of years. That's obviously what a lot of these states are gearing up towards. They're intentionally right. passing extreme measures in hopes that the Supreme Court will take it up. So I don't think that this issue is going away anytime soon. I expect reproductive rights to remain at the forefront of the presidential primary for the next 18 months, and rightfully so. This is a very serious issue. For people of my generation, Roe v. Wade has been a pillar. We've never known life without it. And I think there are people who really are afraid for the first time that Roe could actually be done away with.
Right. And this kind of goes back to how it was a couple years ago with the fight over the new Supreme Court justices. I mean, we got two more that are judges that are justices that are very up there in age. And it's a concern that either President Trump or whoever else gets the next election is going to be determining another one or two justices.
Yeah. And you've seen that on both sides of candidates saying either that I will only nominate candidates who are open to overturning Roe, or I'm only going to nominate candidates who vehemently will protect Roe.
Right.
And I think that'll be a litmus test again for the rest of the primary.
Now, with regards to voting rights, what sort of issues are coming up?
So again, the issue with voting rights is very local here in New Hampshire.
Right.
Voting rights have obviously gotten a lot of national attention. But here in New Hampshire, over the last couple of years, we've seen threats to voting rights. For Granite Staters, they may remember what was called HB 1264 last year, which is interpreted by Democrats as a threat to voting rights for college students. It's really aimed at preventing college kids from voting in New Hampshire. And because of that, I think you've seen Democratic candidates recognize that this is a volatile issue in New Hampshire and something that they can rally voters around. And so Democrats generally take very strong positions in inclusive voting, trying to maximize voter turnout and maximize access to the ballot box. And so that's been brought up in the forums multiple times. The other really interesting issue that I think has come up with voting rights is the restoration of voting rights for formerly incarcerated individuals. This has gained some national media attention because there are distinctions amongst the Democratic candidates on this issue. Some candidates say that they would restore the right to vote after somebody leaves prison or jail. I believe it's Senator Sanders that has said that he thinks people should be able to vote while incarcerated. And that's obviously a reflection of his state. Vermont and Maine are the only two states in the country where you can vote while incarcerated. And as speaking for the ACLU, we're thrilled that this particular voting rights issue is gaining attention. We really do think that this is one of the next forefronts of voting rights, is making sure that people don't ever lose their right to vote. Because if you believe that the right to vote is a right, then why would you ever lose it? You don't lose your citizenship when you go to prison, right? You don't lose your age. You're still over 18. So if you meet all of those criteria for voting, really, what's the explanation for taking away the right to vote? And the history of felon disenfranchisement is also something I hope our country will slowly come to grips with.
What's really standing out to me now as we talk about it, it's really seems like we're coming down to a lot of the traditional Democrat versus Republican feel of state versus federal, state versus federal importance, which side should really take the power on certain subjects. It seems like, especially the last three things we talked about, voting rights, reproductive rights, and LGBTQ rights, are really the forefront of whether the federal government should take a bigger role in it or not.
Yeah, I think there is that question. I think there's also a reaction to the fact that there's not a whole lot happening at the federal level.
Right.
And so a lot of issues that would traditionally be dealt with at the federal level are kind of being deferred to the state level because that's where legislation is moving. That's where bills are actually passing and being enacted. And a couple of them, like the Roe issue, the Roe v. Wade issue, I think states are taking up because the anticipation that how the Supreme Court is going to handle it is so unpredictable that states either want to shore up Roe at the local level or want to try and take steps to weaken it.
Yeah, it's using case law instead of legislative statutes.
Yeah, and I know, speaking for the ACLU, I know we really see now as a time that is so important for state level legislation because there's just not much happening at the federal level. But I actually tell people, if you're really discouraged about what's happening federally, be inspired by what's happening locally. If you're from New Hampshire, there is so much happening locally here. And I think when candidates come to New Hampshire, again, because there's not a lot to talk about in terms of federal legislation, they really are recognizing what's happening at the local level and highlighting that and championing it.
Yeah, it's kind of the advantage of the New Hampshire primaries. You get that face-to-face a lot more.
New Hampshire primary is a very local primary.
Yes. People really need to realize that. I mean, this podcast is listened to all over the country, and we have a few international audience members too, but it's very unique. The candidates are literally face-to-face with citizens. They'll walk into a diner, they'll walk into a coffee shop, they'll walk into a bar, and you'll see the candidate just there eating. Mm-hmm. He'll walk around, say hi to people. There were still the big town halls and such, but it's a very unique experience. If you've never happened to have been a student here at the time, or if you're actually looking at coming here in the fall, it's going to blow up the next 8 months.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, walking down the main streets of Concord, you have days where like you can't get into your favorite sandwich shop because there's a presidential candidate and a ton of media there. So it really is in your face.
So is there anything else you want to cover?
The one other issue that I think I would mention, again, speaking for the candidate forum, is death penalty repeal.
Yes.
New Hampshire just made history a week ago by repealing the death penalty. We became the 21st state to do away with this very archaic and unjust practice. And we've gotten national attention for it, rightfully so. But now we're starting to ask candidates about a federal repeal of the death penalty. Because one of the things that the repeal in New Hampshire demonstrates is that the momentum across the country really is in the direction of repeal. And you've seen this over the last couple years. And you see it in the number of states who are currently considering repeal, including Colorado and Wyoming. And so I think we hope to see that issue gain some traction too, again, with candidates reacting to local news here in New Hampshire and elevating it to a federal level.
How do people learn more about the ACLU of New Hampshire?
So there are two ways. To learn more about the ACLU New Hampshire, please check out our website. It's www.aclu-nh.org. But you can also learn more about our candidate forum about civil liberties in the presidency by going to www.peoplepower.org. And you can find out more information about our next upcoming candidate series when we host Congressman Tim Ryan on July 9th.
And we will be live streaming that over the internet too. So be sure to follow the ACLU of New Hampshire's page or the law school's page, and we'll definitely give a link out to when that goes live, and it'll also be posted on demand here on the podcast feed.
And follow us on social media for the latest updates, because our hope really is to continue to host more and more candidates. Civil liberties in the presidency is such a unique forum. You know, there's lots of candidate town halls where every array of issue is covered, but this is the only forum that I'm aware of that is uniquely devoted to civil liberties. And if you've read the news just over the last week, you realize how big of a role civil rights are playing in shaping the presidential narrative, whether it's the Hyde Amendment or voting rights or immigration. Immigration is obviously a huge one. And this is a unique forum for candidates to come and talk about these most pressing issues that impact every single one of us.
Thank you to Jeannie Ruska, Political Director for the American Civil Liberties Union of New Hampshire, for joining me today. The audio of the previous Civil Liberties in the Presidency events are in the episode description, and you can also just look back in the podcast feed. Be sure to join us July 9th at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition featuring Congressman Tim Ryan. Thank you for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.